If you can listen to this story, children, because how old, who's the oldest here? Maybe 8 or 9 or 10. There was a, it was at junior school age. I don't know what they call it now. It was junior school when I went. Did they call it junior school? I went to junior school. And one of the, do you know you have crazes when you're at school, don't you? Do you have crazes at all? Where everyone does something? Collects cards? Gets into something? Can you remember, was it fidget spinners? Crazes, right? One of our crazes when I was at school was playing marbles. It wasn't that game. And what you did is you played against someone else and you had to hit their marble with your marble. And if you hit it, you won their marble off them. So you could go to school with 5 marbles and come home with none. Or you could go to school with 5 marbles and come home with 20 marbles if you're a good player. Yeah? And there was this craze that you played marbles at school. And I had this box of marbles because I had won quite a few marbles over the time. And I had some, those white ones there that we got in this game are really nice ones. So they would be choice marbles. And then there were the normal ones. And so different marbles were better than others. And one day when I was had my collection of marbles at home, I invited some friends, couple of boys, 2 or 3 boys to come home and just play. Well, you'll find out in a minute. Yeah. They came home with me and we played. We did all sorts of things and we played with my marbles and we did this and we did that. And then they went home. And after they'd gone home, when I went to check in my marbles, I noticed all the best ones gone missing. My best marbles are gone. Now, what would you do? What's your best toys? Now, what would you do if you had some friends come round and you had a collection of cards or marbles or anything that you collected and they stole your best things? What would you, at that moment, what did you feel like? How would you feel? Sad, possibly. And what?
Annoyed.
What else might I feel? I was really angry. Am I allowed to be angry because they stole my toys? Do you know, that's exactly what I wanted to do. Do you know, that, you are right. I wanted to go and punch them in the face. That's exactly what I wanted to do. Do you know, and I was planning how I wanted to go and beat those boys up. That was my plan of action. See, I wanted to go and fight them for stealing my marbles. They were supposed to be my friends and they stole my marbles. And I was really angry, I was annoyed, and I was going to go and beat them. But I think that was on a Friday. And do you know what I ended up doing? I didn't do anything, actually. By the time I came to Monday, I kind of got over the whole issue, and I'd moved on. Yeah? But it does go to show what sometimes... And what can you learn from that when you get your marbles stolen? I lost my marbles. Yeah? I really did lose my marbles on that day. There's things we can learn from something like that. You can take them when you want now. Not to react too quickly, isn't it? I was kind of fortunate that in that situation they had gone. I was at home getting really angry and annoyed and planning what I wanted to do to these boys. But by the time Monday came, I kind of moved on. I kind of think, I mean, I was, well, like these boys, I was going to church. So kind of, to beat them up really wasn't the right answer, was it? Not really. I kind of wanted to do it, but it really wasn't the right answer. I could have. They probably said, what marbles? And I'm kind of getting wound up again. So in the end, I left the story alone. But it's an interesting one because even youngsters have issues in their lives, don't they? I had that. I lost my marbles, as I like to say. And I was angry and I wanted to do something about it. And I was I had been sort of robbed. Anyway, that's a... Now, what you've got to do with that game, I played it this morning, one game, and I got down to 3. Yeah? You've got to keep jumping. You can only move by jumping them, and you're supposed to end up with just one marble. That's the best. But I got 3, which isn't bad, actually. I think, anyway. So I learnt a few, you know, how did I feel when my mom, I was very angry. What did I want to do? I wanted to go and fight these boys at first. What could I learn from it? Now, what could I learn from it? Oh, that, great. That's the kind of thing, you know, you'd be thinking of. Only, I just think I'd be, I could cut the present bit out and just, anyway. What could we do? Someone's done that to me. Now, I could learn from that. I could think, I'm not going to have any more friends because they steal your marbles. I could think like that, couldn't I? Do you think that's the right choice? Probably not. But that could be our response to a situation like that. What about, we could be more careful with who we invite home and with what we let them play with and see. What do you think? Is that fair enough? I think that's fair enough. Be a bit more careful in the future with maybe who you invite back and whether you let them play with your favourite things. Is that fair?
No.
I think that's fair. What about reacting? I think you learn not to react too quickly. When something bad happens to you, you can learn not to react too hastily. Because if those boys were still there, I would have ended up in a big punch-up with them. But luckily for me and for them, both of us, all of us, we had a nice gap between us, so we didn't end up in this big fight. So that kind of helped. So perhaps not to react too quickly. Sometimes you can stand back and just let us calm down a bit. I don't think I did anything in the end. I let it go. I let go of the situation, and I don't sort of... I haven't spent the rest of my life dwelling on my marbles being stolen. I could focus on that and think, and it could make me very bitter if I just lived every day thinking about those marbles I lost. And in a sense, I let it go. I think I knew the principles of forgiveness because I was going to church as a young lad, and I knew that really that's the right thing to do. I didn't want to do it, but it was the right thing to do. So there we go. And I don't think I ever even mentioned it at all, and it just disappeared and it wasn't a problem. So I just let go of it all. But none of us likes being deceived, do we? We don't. Like those boys were coming in. I've invited them to my house. They were friends. And they robbed me, exactly. We don't like to be deceived. We don't want to be conned. We don't want to be swindled, duped. Especially if... And it's not nice if they take something from you, is it? You know, you can be tricked. Yeah, I bet you did. Are you being honest? I don't know if you're being honest. They've got to learn to be honest. you've got to jump each one. Right. You might have got one left. That's the aim of the game. If we give our trust to someone, we don't like it to be abused, do we? If we trust someone, we don't want to lose that trust or have it taken advantage of. We feel used, humiliated. You can chuck in any other words. If you've been... I don't know if any of you have had experiences where you've been deceived or conned or cheated. I can think of another time when I bought a van. And after I bought this van, I think I took it somewhere. And when they checked it, it had been in an accident. So it was a written off van and it had been repaired. But I hadn't been told. And I felt I'd been cheated. So I had to take it to a centre, and it passed its MOT, and I just used it, because it was usable. it wasn't the kind where they joined two cars together. That would have been written off. I would have lost everything. But on that occasion, I just used it. I thought, well, I've got to get over it, and that's that. It wasn't the, you know, it was annoying. But sometimes we get used and or cheated, and that happens. So it's not a nice feeling when you get deceived. I'm not, you know, there's lots of reasons why, but I'd like to show a little video here somewhere.
My name is Bob. I'm 57 and I live with my wife, Kathy. I've got two kids, five grandkids, who I adore. I worked for just shy of 40 years, but my pension still wasn't going to be enough for us. So when he called out of the blue, offering a free pension review, I was all ears. He knew me by name. Spoke professionally about investments. He even sent a courier over to sign the papers. He seemed a really decent guy. Just shy of 40 years pension. He took all of it.
You've probably seen that on telly, haven't you? An advert, and I watched it, and it's quite horrible, isn't it? You know, because someone's been saving up and they've been conned and lost everything. And you watch it and you think, that's pretty harsh. But we can all be deceived one way or another. And if we think we can't, well, we are deceived, because we are all vulnerable to deception in one form or another. And very often, our own desires make us vulnerable to deception. And what I mean by that is the desire for power, for wealth, for significance, for position, importance, recognition, friendship. Those things can be used against us to deceive us, because they're things that you might sort of chase after and not notice the wrong side. So you kind of become blinded by that sort of prize or whatever it is you're chasing. So sometimes that can be something that deceives us. It could be our own self-esteem. You know, we could have a low self-esteem and someone shows us a little bit of attention. We can be deceived quite easily. Or arrogance and pride, those things. You know, someone can butter you up with a bit of how marvellous you are. And then you're prone to it. Oh, let's get the marble. Oh, you did it again. You're amazing. These things can affect us and we can be used against us. We can be snobbery, can, you know, these are all things. To be honest, they affect us all, these things, but they can be used to deceive us as well. Or inverted snobbery. Inverted snobbery, that's where we take a kind of pride in our poor upbringing. And we can, and we revel in our poverty, our poor background, and we kind of turn our noses up to those rich people and have nothing to do with them. Does that make sense? It's like, it's the opposite of the rich person looking down on the poor guy. It's the poor guy takes pride in his poverty and wants nothing to do with the rich guy. So there's like an inverted snob. These things can all affect us because they can be exploited. And deception is like exploiting our vulnerabilities and our desires, our naivety, you know, our trust, everything. It's just, it can be used against us. This week, and this got me thinking on this, I met someone who I hadn't seen for quite a number of years. And she had been in this relationship, which you kind of thought it wasn't going to be good, but you didn't know because, who am I? Anyway, but I see her now and I'm talking to her. And what do I discover? That this guy has run off with a younger model or girl new come along and dumped her. So now this, and in a way, I wasn't surprised. Yeah? I wasn't surprised of the story. I almost expected the story. Because I knew her and I knew him. When I say I know them, I don't know them, but I just kind of know them. And, you know, a few years later, what do I see? Oh, he's moved on and left you. And now he's with somebody else. I wasn't surprised. And she said to me, yes, people in the church did warn me, but you know how it is. And I thought, yeah, her wanting a relationship, that was her desire, her being given some attention, blanked out anything that was told to her and any warning signs that you might see. She was vulnerable and had this attention given to her, so she ended up grasping for this attention. And I thought, yeah, it's broken. And I said, well, all you can do now is you've got to put that behind you, because you've got to move on, haven't you? You know, focusing on the past now, that's done. You know, and the warnings were, she didn't take notice of that. And that's the same for us. You know, people can warn us, but we can ignore advice or help. But it's a sort of sad story. And I remember this guy, him saying to me, he saw a girl with a T-shirt on that I just didn't think much of. And he said, that T-shirt shows me that she's vulnerable. I thought, what? Wow. That was real, quite an alert sort of thing. And I was kind of a bit surprised when he said it. And just by the shirt that she was wearing, he said, I think, you know, that shirt's telling me she's vulnerable. I was like, kind of, wow. And some guys are very good at spotting vulnerable people. They can hone in on it and take advantage. And I'm not saying he didn't in that situation, but he pointing it out, it just made me think, gosh, he was kind of good at spotting a vulnerable thing just from a shirt. It's like, whoa. And I'm not saying he wasn't a complete predator, but some people are quite good at these kind of things and being able to take advantage of people, different people. And that's how con men work. You know, they can spot a situation and they move in and they give you their trust and then they take what they want from you, see. So it works a bit like that. So they kind of move in, they might, so if it was like a vulnerable girl, they might just show her attention, talk to her, butter her up, say how good she is and smart she is. And because they're in a vulnerable place and they have low self-value, they lap it up. They're going to lap that attention that's given to them. And that guy, they're easy prey, easy target for some person. And there's other situations. I'm talking really at this point of the natural, you know, the being vulnerable and being watching out for each other. But in 2 Timothy, this is what it reminded me of, the story. So let me just try and find 2 Timothy. Because when I was told this story, it just made me think of this straight away. 2 Timothy 3. Here we go. But mark this. So 2 Timothy 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. And of course, it's a miserable list, isn't it? Unforgiving, slanderous. Yeah, you just put the telly on, really, isn't it? Without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. They'd be treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Then it goes on. So these are people that we are thinking all out there, but these are people that will actually, it says, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and can gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. So they're kind of on the edge of church. They're kind of connecting. Do you see what I mean? And it's saying, have nothing to do with these, because obviously something like this was happening and affecting the church. Have nothing to do with these. But worming their way into these homes, having control over these women. I'm not just saying this about women, though, because it's all of us are vulnerable to deception. But this was just the example that he was writing to. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth, men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So these, I think, were people that were kind of connecting into the church. And they were having influence over people in the church. And he was warning them, look, these guys, they're not good. You will see the damage they will cause. They are corrupting. They're teaching people to live a wrong life. They're having an influence. They're like leading people astray. They're self-centered, selfish. You know, they're going to corrupt. And that's what Timothy is being warned about. Watch out for these guys. They might look good, but they're going to be really quite corrupting. And for us, you know, when that guy came in, you know, you remember that situation, and people said, well, I saw him speaking in tongues. It was like he had elevated himself straight up. People thought he was amazing because he spoke in tongues. I'm not saying it's wrong, but what I'm saying is it was very easy for him to deceive by speaking in tongues. He could stand there speaking in tongues, waving his hands, and we think, wow, he's very spiritual. He is a very spiritual guy. But his fruit, when he got up, the anger and the wrath, the whatever you want to call it, the stuff came out, he suddenly saw the fruit of what he was suddenly manifest itself. But how easy he could deceive, how easy he could take us in by speaking in tongues, by, you know, praising the Lord with his arms waved, whatever. It's not that hard to deceive. And, you know, we want to see it. You know, we want to see people spiritual like that. But we have to be on our guard and look out for these things. That was just a little example of the obvious. But the point being, we want to look out for each other. Sometimes when someone tries to give us advice or help, we don't want to hear. Like that girl said, people did warn me, but I didn't listen. All you can do is say, look, I don't think what this is going to be help. The person is still responsible for their own decisions. You can offer advice, but you can't make someone do or not do. But you can say, I don't think that's going to be helpful for you. I don't, you know, we don't have to be bossy. I'm not saying let's all go out and be bossy to each other, but we just look out for each other. And we can receive from each other or not. If someone says, I don't think that's going to be helpful for you doing that, you can either say, yeah, okay, or, yeah, you might be right, actually. Just depends. But we can look out for each other. And I was kind of glad that she acknowledged that people had said to her, this isn't going to be, I don't think this is the right thing. I was kind of glad that she acknowledged that. And she knew that she had not listened. And I just said, well, that's done now. Let's move on. So, as we saw that video, losing your, you can lose your marbles. That's not nice. You can lose your pension. That's really bad. But it's worse than your pension. Do you know what's the worst thing to lose? Your own soul. See, that's the worst thing. Your pension, lose your pension. That's just painful. But losing your soul is the worst thing. And you don't want to be deceived out of your soul or out of your eternity, you see? And that's what we've got to look out for the most. Whether you get hurt in this life, yeah, you get your marbles stolen, get sold a bad car. It's painful, but it's not the end of the world. But losing your soul is the end of the world. That's the big, you don't want to be tricked out of eternal life. And in Matthew 7, it says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. So when someone comes sounding with a new message or something, just see what they're like. By their fruit, you will know them. Just see what they live like. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. And as I mentioned, that guy who came in, it's looking good, looking quite persuasive, and then suddenly out came Mr. Vile. And then you think, actually, I'm not going to listen to you, because you might look good at one minute, but that was vile there. We don't need to hear that. So let's try and look out for each other. Yeah, look out for one another. Lift each other up when we go wrong. You know, we can help each other back onto the track. Nothing is beyond God's redemption. So when someone does, like that girl, her situation had crumbled. I'm pleased that she's going to a church. She could just be bitter and reject, but that she's found herself in the right place. So let's try and look out for each other. But probably first of all, look out for yourself. Don't be taken in by false teachings or chasing after something else or something that's... I'd say for you youngsters here, probably one of the biggest decisions you'll make in your lives. What do you think it is? Yeah, what do you think is going to affect you big time? Exactly. That would be one of the biggest decisions that you'll make in life that will affect you. It's picking the right person that's going to help you through your life. Yeah? That's the kind of thing. You can be led astray. I can cut this bit out. But I've seen it in my own family. The people that married, I would say, don't put this on it though. Married unbelievers, they never followed in the same way. Yeah? So they were led away. They were, at that point, I would say following on as much as perhaps any of us might be here. And then you marry someone who's not interested, and you either got to be strong and keep them with you, or you go their way. And it's easy to just be, go into the, I can't not bother, big decision that you make. So you might, so a little thing like just spotting that girl or that girl or that boy, and you think, oh yeah, he's nice, da 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 da, that could be misery for years, or worse, losing your own soul. So be careful on decisions like that, because they completely affect you. Other things, perhaps not so much. The company you keep could be good, might not be. Anyway, I'm going to draw it to a halt. But we are all vulnerable to being deceived in one way or another. But hold firm to this. Keep company that can help you and look after you. So, and be prepared to have someone say to you, Dave, I don't know if that's the best thing you should be doing. And then it's up to me to think, I'm going to listen to you or I'm not going to listen to you. Do you see? But you can say to me, Dave, perhaps you better do this or you shouldn't do that. At least you've said your bit. At least you've given a warning. And that's something that as a church, we look after each other. You give your help. But do it not in a bossy way, not in a way that is condemning, not in a way that is like, ooh, don't do that. If you're trying to help someone, you try and do it in a way that's helping someone. So it's got to be in a way that you actually want to see someone be helped. And then it's up to that person to go, you know what? I don't really want to hear that. Or, oh yeah, okay, that's good. And you might be a stubborn person like me that it takes a little, takes a bit of doing before I come round. You know, you've got to get your head into gear on it. But there we go. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your church. Thank you that you have a truth and you are wisdom. And Lord, we just pray that you would watch over us and help us to be able to distinguish between the deceiving ways and things that will lead us astray, and keep us on fire, Lord. Keep us focused in the right direction for your kingdom. Amen.